during that game in Munich last week, I got a text off one of Pogba's family, and it just said, different animal.
You know, Mancini has wanted everyone to have fun, you know.
For the best Euro 2020 coverage, download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the OTB Football Podcast.
The OTB Podcast Network with Get Set Go. Quick Start Car Insurance you can sort anytime, online, then bounce on with your day. Get a quote today at getsetgo.ie.
Let's talk about Harry Kane, because it has been confirmed already that he will start tonight by Gareth Southgate. I'm delighted to say Martin Lipton is with us this morning again. Martin, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm very well.
So Southgate said that he would start Harry Kane, but then they were guaranteed qualification by last night's results. Does that in any way alter Southgate's thinking, or is he getting minutes into Kane to try and get the form and fitness and the gel back in that team?
I can't see any reason why it would change. He needs Kane to be firing. Kane's not been right the first two games, but for whatever reason, whether it be mentally or physically, something's been up. Normally with Kane, even when he's not right physically, he still scores goals. He gets involved enough in games to score, and he hasn't done that in the first two. And he needs him to be the spearhead and the goal scorer to have that threat. So he wants to play him into form. There's no question of that, and it makes abundant sense to me.
There have been periods in Kane's career where he's been streaky, where there was a few games here and there where there were patches where he didn't score, but then he would emerge from that and go on incredible scoring runs. So that has to be Southgate's hope. Has there been any pattern to those streaks in the past that someone can pinpoint and say, I think this is what's going on here?
No, because he's rarely gone more than three or four games without a goal. You can argue at the end of the season for Spurs, he didn't score that many, but he was playing better. He left the game, he scored and made one, and he was always involved and always a threat. So it's rare for him not to score. That's why he's got a record of, just under two goals every three games for Tottenham, over 200 games in the league. That's the quality that he possesses. And his England record is similar. You know, he's got 34 goals in 55 games. Again, it's two every three. So he's due one on that basis, isn't he?
It's not like he's missing a huge amount of opportunities, though. England really aren't creating gilt-edged opportunities for Kane to spurn. Is your view that he's out of form, or that just the way that England are playing at the moment is making him look like a player who's struggling for form?
Well, he's not got any chances. That's a fact. But I just thought his movement looked slightly awry. He didn't seem to be playing with the same conviction I'm used to from him. Something seemed... just from an amateur perspective, but from a Spurs supporter who's seen him for a number of years perspective, he didn't look like himself. But that could be for a variety of reasons. I mean, no one's a robot. No one can be guaranteed to play well every match, and Kane's as human as the rest of us. You do feel that he needs better service, and there wasn't, it was one cross against the Croatians he nearly got the end of. Across from the right against Scotland, that he's just a bit slow to get to. I think he's overplayed as well. But it's not as if he's had, 10 chances to get on the end of. They haven't put the ball in the right place. And as a consequence, he's gone looking for the ball. Now, at times, that's really useful because he can drop deep, turn and hit and hurt you. And he hasn't done that so far. But there needs to be better movement, more penetration, the ball getting in behind a little bit more. And they haven't done that enough.
When he does drop deep, there's obviously a Tottenham. So Heung-min Son is in advance of him. And there was some talk in the papers at the weekend that maybe Gareth Southgate needs to look at the possibility of playing both Kane and Dominic Calvert-Lewin together. And that if Kane does drop deeper, I mean, he was incredible in terms of goals, assists for Tottenham last season, that maybe that's the way to go. Play him deeper and play the equivalent of Heung-min Son and Dominic Calvert-Lewin ahead of him.
Well, isn't the equivalent of Son, Jadon Sancho? More than Calvert-Lewin. Calvert-Lewin's an orthodox centre-forward, whereas Sancho is pace, can run in behind. We've seen him do that for Dortmund. I think it's an argument that you need to have better legs, but again, Sterling's not short of pace either. Rashford's not short of pace when he comes up. What the problem was, the runs weren't being made by anyone. As a consequence, he went, and the ball wasn't being provided in the right place, so he went looking. I think there's nothing wrong with the shape. The issue for me is that, do you really need two holding midfielders in a lot of games? Now, maybe Southgate's view is, well, when it really matters, we're going to. So therefore, why would we change it up when we can, it's about getting used to playing in a certain way for when we need to play in that way. And that's perfectly valid as an argument. And the other thing is, as we know, tournaments aren't necessarily won by the best attacking teams. They tend to be won, as 2016 and 2018 proved, by the best defensive teams.
Is that giving you confidence that actually Southgate's on the right path here? Because there's been a massive reaction by the England fans to their performances so far, and it seems like it's an overreaction, because Scotland played really well, have a bunch of very, very good players, very clear identity in what they're trying to do, and it's a derby game. Sometimes those games end up taking on a life of their own. Also, England missed a gilt-edged opportunity very early in the game to score a goal that would have completely changed the complexion of it when Stones rattles the bar.
Yeah, and it should have been a penalty in the second half. Soft one, but it's a penalty in the Premier League any day of the week, isn't it, when Robertson clips Sterling's heels. England didn't play well. Scotland played as well as they can do and got a 0-0 draw. I think that probably sums up the difference between the two teams, in truth. You know, England have qualified with a game to spare. Scotland have got to beat Croatia. I think people do get over excited about performances and read too much into them. No, it wasn't good. Let's not pretend otherwise. It was a poor performance. They lacked impetus. They lacked penetration. They lacked thrust. They lacked conviction. Not in the top 10 of bad England performances that I've seen.
The two holding midfielders issue, is there just a betting in period for that as well? Is it possible that, so essentially Declan Rice is playing as a six, is it possible that Phillips can play as a slightly more advanced player alongside him, or is that two sixes that we're watching?
Well, it looks that way at the moment. You do need one of them to make a run occasionally. And Phillips made the couple of runs against Croatia, was exactly what he needs to do. For me, they were just a bit too hesitant. They were worried. And also, the longer it went on against Scotland, the more it was like, OK, if we don't lose this, we're through. And that can breed inertia in players, that they become more conservative in their game plan. I would be surprised to see England play as poorly again. Doesn't mean they won't. Fuck you, it's England. But I would be surprised to see them play as poorly. I'd like to see a few changes, but it's not my call. I'd like to see Bellingham involved. I'd like to see Sancho involved. But I suspect that won't happen.
He doesn't seem to fancy Sancho at all.
Something's up with him, I don't know. But he's in the squad, so it may be something that Sancho has done. I don't know. Or he just doesn't see enough of him because he plays in Germany. And, of course, he's not been able to get out and see him because he hasn't been able to travel for 15 months.
The Grealish debate is obviously, it's raging at the moment, and there's potential that the team has to change, maybe if Mount is ruled out because of the Billy Gilmore COVID positive. Very difficult to know exactly what's going to happen with that at the moment. But is there a case to stick Grealish in this team anyway?
I think there is, yes. But I don't think it's a tragedy if he doesn't play him, and it's not an outrage if he doesn't play him, because, you know, it's the manager's choice. And if you're talking about Foden and Sterling and Mount and Grealish, it's hard to get them all into one team. So someone's got to miss out. And he loves Mount. And I can see why. I thought in the first half on Friday, Mount was England's best player. I think Foden is a spectacularly good player who will always have a future for me for the next 10, 12 years for England. And Sterling has never let him down. He's got 13 and 18. If you look at those things and take them into account, omitting Grealish and bringing him on for 20 minutes is hardly the crime of the century.
What's your view on how well Southgate's doing at the moment? Is he doing a good job?
Well, I don't see anyone can say he's doing a bad job. They've won all their World Cup qualifiers this year, including Poland. They've qualified with a game to spare in the Euros. They're not playing particularly well. One of the big concerns with England was, oh dear, we've got great attacking players and defensively we're a mess. We're going to concede loads of goals and Tyrone Mings isn't very good and we haven't got much of a left back and I don't fancy the goalkeeper. Well, they've kept two clean sheets so far and Mings has been excellent, actually. And the keeper's made big saves when he's had to. Sometimes you just don't play particularly well. But what if you do have a shape and a system and a way of playing that the players are happy with and comfortable with, and they're doing the basic job, which is getting through, it's hard to be critical.
Given that they're already through, do you take an opportunity to give some game time to Maguire and Henderson and make sure that those players are fit if they are required for later on in the tournament?
Henderson rather than Maguire. Maguire rather than Henderson for me. Not going to put anything against Henderson. It's just I don't think you need to be that mobile to play centre-half. You don't need to be that fit to play centre-half. It's easier. If you look back to 2004, the opening game, England played France, played really, really well, managed to contrive to lose it, having dominated for most of the match. And Ledley King played alongside Sol Campbell because John Terry was injured. John Terry was fit for the next game and came straight in because he was his best centre-half. No matter how well, and he has played well, Tyrone Mings has, Harry Maguire is a better player than Tyrone Mings. And for me, it makes abundant sense if he's fit enough to play to bring him back, particularly if he needs game time, having not played for a month, and because it's a game that in some respects doesn't matter too much in that they're already going through. I don't want to, you know, you could get too clever, we want to play so-and-so. No, but they are going through. Whereas for Henderson, you need that mobility, and he's not played for more than 2 months, nearly 3 months. I'm not sure he's going to ever have that mobility in the tournament. I think he's almost there as much for his ability to knit the squad together as he is for what he can do on the pitch.
Okay.
What's your impression as a collective of how England are dealing with the pressure of what is essentially a home tournament? I think Raheem Sterling said the overreaction to the Scotland game was one that was just outside of the group, that internally they actually feel great about things, that they're happy enough with exactly where they are. That we've seen England teams buckle in the past when it comes to this stage of a major tournament with all the pressure that goes with trying to perform in an England shirt. Is this group different?
Well, we'll find out in the next couple of weeks, won't we? It's hard for me as an outsider to tell you what's going on inside the group. And to coin a phrase from Sterling, he would say that, wouldn't he? Nevertheless, I know that Southgate will be exuding calm rather than panic, as will Steve Holland, as will the likes of Maguire and Henderson, who aren't in the team at the moment. And half the time, as you know, it's psychological. It's what you've got between your ears as much as what you do with your feet that make the difference. You don't want to panic. You don't want nervousness. You need to stay calm and focused. And I'm sure Southgate will be reminding everyone that, you know, Portugal won the last tournament, drawing three games in the group, including, you know, a 3-3 against Hungary. If you get through, it doesn't matter.
And they are through. That's the thing.
Exactly.
I mean, obviously.
Exactly.
And we're waiting to see who the draw is going to be against. It could be particularly cruel and difficult. But actually, you know, if you're going to win a tournament, you're going to have to knock out some good teams. And being underdogs in the next round might not be the worst thing for a team, for this team.
Indeed. But second in Group E, it could be Spain, or it could be Slovakia. It could be Poland or Sweden, for that matter. I mean, second in Group F still could be any of four. It's more likely, I suspect, to be Germany, but it's not guaranteed to be them. So many imponderables at the moment that you can't make any calculations based. It wasn't like 2018 where it actually made strategic sense for England to not beat Belgium in the last game of the group because the path was easier. There's no easy path in this because it's a 24-team tournament down to 16.
Yeah, and there are so many good teams at a fairly similar level, with even one or two teams at the very top at the moment. The other big story in the back pages of all the newspapers today are suggesting that Pep has made Harry Kane his number one priority, and that City have already bid 100 million, or that the offer hasn't been made, but they've floated the idea. I don't know exactly how these things work, where it's like, we all know that they're intending to bid, but the formal bid hasn't arrived. There's a semantics around it, I think, in some ways, that probably are as interesting as the whole thing and the process itself. You've told us before you don't think Daniel Levy wants to sell to another English club. Does Levy's position change as Kane's position changes? What's the politics here at play?
Well, the bid has to be serious, and it has to be far more in advance of 100 million. He's not going to sell for that because he thinks he'll get that and more next summer in a more buoyant market. City is just trying to destabilise it. If anything, a bid like that is not too dissimilar in terms of the impact on the status of the so-called selling club as the Arsenal bid for Suarez a few years ago. It will make Daniel Levy more intransigent, not less, because City know what his valuation is. And if they don't go anywhere near it, he's not going to deal. And he's going to tell Harry Kane, I'm sorry, you've got 3 years left on the contract. They're not making a serious bid. If they're making a serious bid, I'd listen, but it's not serious. So clearly you're not going anywhere.
Is there any way a deal could be done with 100 million cash plus a conglomeration of different players? Or is it cash and cash only that Daniel Levy wants, do you think?
I don't know, but it'd have to be really good players. And do they want to go to Spurs? And can Spurs afford them? You know, Spurs aren't going to want to add to their wage bill. And look at the sort of money that City players are on. Which players at City would they want? And also, they're getting discards. They're getting players that City don't want. So that's hard to sell. And the other thing which has queered the pitch enormously and makes it, for me, impossible at this juncture to see it happening this summer, early this summer, is that Spurs play City on the first game of the season. There's no way that Daniel Levy is going to want Harry Kane to come back on the first day of the season, score a hat-trick for City against Spurs. It's almost as if he's bunged a fixture plan as a few bob to make sure the deal doesn't happen.
they also don't have a manager, Martin. Now, not that...
if you fancy it, there's a vacancy. Just put your name in.
They've lost out on so many at this stage. My name might appear on the list at some stage over the next few weeks. But I know a Tottenham manager in recent times hasn't exactly been in charge of the transfer dealings, and he may help identify targets, but it's certainly not his call ultimately as to who they bring in. But there is nobody really there to say, well, actually, if you got the Kane money in, we could buy such and such.
Well, there is. It's Paratici. They've employed him as director of football.
But I'm just asking, is the absence of a manager playing a major role in this overall equation at all?
No, it's not, actually. I mean, the absence of the manager is an embarrassment, as far as I'm concerned. It's ridiculous. And it shows the lack of planning and forethought on behalf of the club. There's no question of that. But the stance on Kane is not being altered by the absence of a manager. If anything, it makes it easier for Levy to stick to his guns. But I think Daniel Levy's position is, I'm not selling unless I'm given a deal that I can't say no to. And that probably, being realistic, begins with a two. And no one's going to offer that in this market.
When do you think they will have a manager? Is there a potential that they're looking at somebody who's involved in the Euros and that's the get out of jail card? It's like, oh, we had to wait to the end of this because we wanted X manager.
Well, that's what they'll try and spin, I'm sure, but no one will believe it because it's been an unmitigated mess from start to finish. And nobody can say otherwise. And, you know, for all the attempts and efforts to deny that it's chaos, it sure looks like chaos. They don't seem to know from day to day who their targets are. And the type of manager they appear to be talking to changes with the wind. It makes utterly no sense whatsoever.
There is no consistency at all to the different candidates who've been linked or on the verge of signing.
No. I mean, you can't go from Pochettino to Conte to Fonseca to Gattuso in the space of 3 weeks and tell me there's consistent planning gone on. If it had been, as they were originally intended, I think Nagelsmann, and then they'd ended up going back to Pochettino, you can see that. Even Ten Hag, you can see those being of a type. But it now appears to be, is there anyone we can get who's good, who's big enough for us to sell? Well, it may work, by the way. And it may be that's not a terrible philosophy. There's a change of stance that Paratici has come in and said to Levy, hang on, what do we actually want now from our manager? And that makes it a clear sense. And Conte, because of his success at many clubs, would have been a very good choice in the short term. But, of course, with Antonio Conte, it's only ever in the short term. Very short term, and in this case, like a couple of days and he changed his mind. But if you ask me who they're going to have as manager, I simply couldn't tell you because I don't think they know.
Are England going to win tonight?
Should win tonight. Czechs are pretty happy they've qualified. They don't really need to win the group. England needs to put in a performance. Last time Czechs came to Wembley, beat 5-0 and smashed them. And even the game they lost 2-1 in Prague, England went one up and should have won the game. They conceded two sloppy goals from corners. So, England should win, but not if they play like they did on Friday night.
Martin, great to have you with us. Thanks a million. Enjoy the game. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Martin Lipton giving us some thoughts there on the situation at Spurs and the England game tonight. If you've got thoughts on that game, or indeed England's performance so far in the Championship, we'd love to hear from you. 0879 180 180 is the number you can WhatsApp. or as ever, of course. You can also leave a comment in the YouTube stream or use the hashtag OTBM. A packed show still to come.
The OTB Podcast Network with Get Set Go. Quickstar car insurance you can sort anytime, online, then bounce on with your day. Get a quote today at getsetgo.ie.